We're doing the Yaakov and Berachos. We're up to Daf Lamed Amud Beis in the Gemara, page Nun Tes Amud Aleph in the standard editions of the Yaakov. On the top right, you'll see 116, top left, Nun Tes, and we're towards the bottom, four lines from the bottom by the two dots. The topic we're discussing is happiness, really. We began on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the previous page. The Gemara discussed that we're supposed to enter prayer out of happiness of a mitzvah, and not out of idle chatter, out of sadness, out of laughter, but rather out of the true happiness of a mitzvah. And by the same token, when we depart from a friend, we should leave out of words of Torah. We discussed there that's how he'll remember you. With the last thought you left him with. We brought a story to illustrate that. And then the Gemara quoted other stories where people got out of hand with their happiness at the wedding, and they broke that special white glass, and we said that's the source for our custom for breaking a glass at a wedding. Correct. So we said that in our day and age, we have to keep our happiness in check, because our happiness is not full. Our happiness will be complete when we have the Beit HaMikdash. And today, although we are supposed to be happy, we're supposed to perform mitzvot out of happiness, we're supposed to have special happiness three times a day before we enter prayer, we're supposed to enter prayer out of happiness. Nonetheless, even when we rejoice and we're exuberant, a person's getting married, we keep our happiness in check. We tell ourselves it's not like everything's perfect yet. We don't yet have a Beit HaMikdash. And our Gemara begins with the two dots. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What does the word Mishum indicate? Who remembers?
In the name of.
In the name of. Mishum means in the name of, but that he didn't hear it from him directly. So Rabbi Yochanan is quoting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but it's not a quote that he heard directly from him. Yes?
Say you're not entering prayer of happiness, and it's kind of out of your control, you just lost a family member.
And therefore what? What's the question?
I mean, you said you're supposed to. There's not a barrier there.
You're supposed to what? What?
What is the view on that? I guess is what I'm asking.
On a person's sadness?
Yeah.
La kol zman, Shlomo Amar said. Everything has its time and place. You know, a person that lost a relative is supposed to be saddened over the loss. Here we're talking about in general, when things are at equilibrium. So, Rav Yochanan quotes Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Who is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Whenever we encounter Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah plainly, that's Rabbi Shimon, the son of Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Asur la'adam sheimale schok piv ba'olam hazeh. It is forbidden for a person in this world, when things are at the state they are now, it is forbidden for him to completely fill his mouth with laughter. Shneimaz, the verse says, we say it at benching on Shabbos, az himale schok pinu ulshonenu rina. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter, and our tongues with song. So then, when we get there, right now the temple is destroyed, we're not at the state we'd like to be, and we have to maintain some memory of that. So when we're happy, we say, we'll be very happy, but not to the highest point possible. There's always a point where it's not yet perfect, and we have to remember that. Eimatai, when will we maintain this complete happiness? When all the nations recognize, that's a continuation of the verse, and they say, look at how great what God did with these is. Look at how great Hashem did with Am Yisrael. Amru alav al Reish Lakish. They said about Reish Lakish. Who was Reish Lakish? He was Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law. You remember the story? Rabbi Yochanan was extremely good-looking, chief rabbi of Israel, compiler of the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan met Reish Lakish, who had learned Torah, left the academy, went to become a bandit. He and his two partners used to be top bandits. And then Rabbi Yochanan swam across the Jordan. Reish Lakish leaped across the Jordan, wanting to rob Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan saw him and remembered who he was. his history in learning Torah and said to him, Chei lecha le'iraisa, your strength should be in learning Torah, Reish Lakish said to Rav Yochanan, and your beauty should be on a woman. Rav Yochanan said, if you come learn Torah, I have a sister that's better looking than me, and I'll convince her to marry you. And Reish Lakish agreed, and Reish Lakish went on to learn Torah by Rav Yochanan. He died the same day as his two partners, who had been his partners in crime, died. Right? He went up and they went down. And when they came to heaven, they asked, "What's the difference? Wait a second. He was the head of the mafia. Why is he going up and we're going down?" So they said, "Yeah, he changed his ways." Right? You guys remember the story how Reish Lakish died? They were learning about instruments. When is an instrument finished? That we say halachically it's finished for use and can become tameh. Rav Yochanan said one thing. Reish Lakish said, no. Those weapons, you have to first cauterize them. You heat them up and then you put them in cold water. Rav Yochanan said, I see you still know your stuff about weapons. You're still that bandit within you is still alive. Reish Lakish said, what good is all my learning if after all my learning you're still calling me a bandit? When I was a chief bandit, they used to call me rabbi too. In those days, rabbi meant master, leader. So he said, so now they call me rabbi, then they called me rabbi. What's the difference? Rav Yochanan said, what do you mean, what's the difference? I killed myself over your learning Torah. There's no difference to you, the Torah you've learned. And Rav Yochanan was hurt by Reish Lakish's comments. And because Rav Yochanan was hurt, Reish Lakish became deathly ill and died. Rav Yochanan, when he lost his star pupil, Reish Lakish, regretted it so much that he also ultimately died of that sorrow. So we're skipping the details of the story, but if you want, we discussed them maybe 2-3 months ago, so they're all online. At the end of the day, Reish Lakish, after he learned it from his Rebbe and brother-in-law, Rav Yochanan, who actually brought him back to learning Torah, Amru Alav, they said about him, Al Reish Lakish, about Reish Lakish, Shemiyamav lo miles chok piv mechishamam Rav Yochanan Rabbeik. From the time he heard this halacha from Rav Yochanan, his Rebbe, he never again allowed his mouth to just laugh away completely without restraint. So we see it's not such a simple thing to do. Most of our lives we don't laugh like that. But sometimes you do have moments and a person does get carried away and it takes a certain amount of restraint for a person to maintain this halacha. You see, it's pointed out as a point about Reish Lakish. Look, he fulfilled this halacha. The question is, how happy, you know? When a person has a momentous occasion, he hears that the stock he bought for $1,000 shot up and he just became a millionaire overnight, you know. He could burst out laughing. A person has his first child. A person gets married. There are moments in a person's life where it's natural that the happiness will overtake him and he'll be on cloud number 9. And for a person at those moments to be able to restrain himself and say, I'm not yet fully happy, sometimes that's not so easy. We see the Gemara points it out as something about Reish Lakish that was extraordinary. Tanu Rabbanan, we've turned the page. We're on Nuntes Amud Beis, the top of the page. Who remembers what does Tanu Rabbanan mean? Correct. A braisa that was verified by the academies of Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught the following braisa. Braisa comes from the word bira, external. It is a Tanoic quote that is external to the Mishnah, but it is a Tanoic quote that the authenticity was validated by one of these two great academies, Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya. Hamit Palel, someone who is standing in prayer, Sarich Sheichavenet Libo Lashamayim, his heart must be focused towards heaven. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul taught, Siman Ladavar, if you want a verse that indicates this concept, the verse says, Tachin Libam Takshivo Znecha. When they align their hearts, then you listen. So we have to align our hearts when we stand in prayer. A person shouldn't allow his thoughts to be on his business or other things. It's not easy. So a person has to focus on what he's doing here. It's not easy. It's part of the work of Tefillah. That's why Tefillah is called work. So we have to know that A, this is our responsibility, and B, it's logical that if you want your prayer to do anything, to accomplish anything, that God should actually answer, a person has to be focused. It's not a matter of lip service. Tanya, we have another braisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda taught, Kach haya minago shel Rabbi Akiva. This was the way Rabbi Akiva used to pray. This was his custom. Kshaya mitpalel im hatzibur, when he'd pray, and he was in shul praying, haya mekatzer ve'ole mipnei torach tzibur. He'd pray rather quickly to conclude his prayer so that people wouldn't have to wait for him, because he didn't want everyone to wait for him. He wanted to end in time. The congregation shouldn't have to wait for him to finish. So ordinarily we know you're allowed to add your own requests in prayer, as we discussed previous weeks, where you're allowed to add them. But when Rabbi Akiva was praying in the congregation and he knew everyone was waiting for him, he'd finish in time for them. And this is also important as a shaliach tzibur. If you're the shaliach tzibur, so everyone's going to have to wait for you, so you can't take too long. You're Shmona Esrei. There's a concept of torach tzibur. Don't burden the congregation.
Oh, the chazan can't go too long. So.
The chazan, or if he's someone like Rabbi Akiva, that everyone's going to wait for him before they start the chazaras hashatz. But when he'd pray on his own, let's say he was praying en route and there was no minyan there, or if he was feeling ill, he was at home, for whatever reason he was praying alone, Adam minichov zavit zo, you could leave him at one corner as he's praying, umotzeov zavit acheret, and you'd find him at the end of the prayer at the other corner of the room. V'chokach lama? How did he end up at the other corner of the room? Because he'd chuckle so much in his prayer, he'd literally shift across the room. He'd sway so much in his prayer, and his prayer was so long, with so much swaying, that he'd literally shift across the room in his prayer. Slowly, but he'd get there. Yeah, that's Rabbi Akiva.
During his
Amida, no. He didn't move. If you sway enough, then even with your feet together, you shift. So he shift. It's impossible. I don't know. Somehow it happened. Look, if you have a hard time with this understanding, you can understand that it's kriyot v'ishtachavayot, the way they did in Chazal's time, that they'd bow all the way down with their face on the floor. So each time he'd bow all the way down,
so
and then
get
he'd get up.
Knees, like
yeah,
like
get on their knees.
Before?
Right. That's kiyot v'shtachavayot. So if that's easier for you, so then each time he'd bow, he'd shift.
It's a little easier to picture. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
How come we don't do that anymore?
We don't. Remind me Thursday night.
You got it.
Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Rav Chiya bar Abba taught, Lo'olam yitpalel adam bebayit sheyesh bo chalonot. A person should always attempt to pray in a house where there are windows. When a shul is built, ideally there should be windows, not at eye level, because then we'll be distracted, we'll end up looking out the window, but above eye level.
So are we not supposed to daven in this room then?
In this room you can't see out the window, so it's okay. Shenemar, as the verse says, V'chavin petichan lei. The verse describes Daniel's prayer, and the verse describes how the king's men that wanted to catch him praying so they could report it to the king saw it. So the verse describes that he had windows open opposite Jerusalem, and that's where he'd pray. So they were able to see him through the windows. Yechol yitpalel adam kol hayom kulo. A person might think, I'll pray all day long. What's better than that? I'm talking to God all day long. So the verse describes in Daniel, how was he praying? There were three times during the day that he prayed. We pray in accordance with the day, right? In the morning, the sun rises in the east. In the afternoon, the sun's in the west. And at night, it's darkness. Those are the three times we pray, corresponding to the sacrifices, corresponding to the fact that at all times of our lives, we need Hashem. Corresponding to the beginning of our day, the middle of our day, the end of our day. There are different correspondences, but at the end of the day, this is what Daniel taught us. The three times a day is the amount you should pray. You want to add more than that? A person could pray, you know. There's nothing wrong. There's a Gemara that says this term, ulvai sheitpalel adam kol hayom kulo, halvai, you know. If a person could and he could remain focused, that's a fine thing. He could continue praying. Yes?
Well, we pray three times a day. There's set times and set prayers. I mean, you obviously have bedtime right when you get up. But if you add a fourth prayer, what would that be? Would that just be If you add a fourth prayer, what would that be?
So in the times of the Talmud, when they could focus on their prayer, so then you could add a prayer at any time that was fitting for prayer. You could add a tefillat nidava. So in the morning, right after shachris, if you wanted in the morning hours to add a prayer, a shmona esrei, provided that you were fully focused. You can't add a prayer where you're not focused. We say, if not for the fact that the rabbis instituted these three prayers, technically we wouldn't pray, because we don't focus in our prayer. So what kind of chutzpah is it? You call on God, you say, blessed are you Hashem, and your mind starts wandering, your face starts wandering, you're not even focused on what you're saying. Half the time, a person has to look, where am I up to? You know, every so often during his prayer, he stops and says, wait a second, what were the last things I said? I mean, okay, so if we didn't have to pray these three prayers a day, maybe we wouldn't do that either, because we don't live up to what we should do.
Right.
We don't have the kavanah we should. So that's why today we definitely don't add a donation of a prayer. You want to add prayer, take it to Tehillim, read Tehillim. You are focused, you're not focused, that's okay. Preferably you should be focused. But in the days of Chazal, you could have a tefillat nedava. A person could focus throughout the prayer, and then if he felt the need to add a prayer, he could.
Or to add a Yirat Zon
So that we could do today. That we discussed previous weeks, where we add what during the prayer. That was in our learning previous weeks, and technically at the end of prayer, by the Yule Ratzon, a person could add his requests in whatever language he wants. Yes?
For those times, you seem to have an hour of preparation for after the supplementary
prayer. Well, we see they were unique, the people who added an hour of preparation. So it seems from the Gemara that for them the three prayers was enough.
They were unique, like they were the
menorah. Hasidim Rishonim, it says. The Mishnah says Rishonim, earlier generations, and the Mishnah doesn't say everyone in the earlier generations. The Mishnah says the pious in the earlier generations. We don't know how many people that was. That was 1 or 10 or 100. It was a group of people called the pious, and they lived in earlier generations than the Mishnah. When exactly, we don't know. So the verse indicates that Daniel in Babylon would pray three times a day. Yachol mishebala gola huchla. You might think that this custom of praying three times a day began when he was in exile in Babylon. So the verse says not that way. The verse says, diyuavad min kadmatina. This is the custom he had from beforehand, this custom of praying three times a day. So you see, even if we'll rebuild the temple here in Israel, we should still pray three times a day, just like Daniel did still when he was in Israel. Yachol yitpalel adam l'chol ruach sheyotzeh. A person might think he could pray in any direction he wants to. Tilmod lomar neged Yerushalayim. That's why the verse indicates that Daniel's windows were open towards Jerusalem. And when we pray and when we set up windows in a shul, the windows have to be above eye level in the direction of Jerusalem. And the idea is, if a person loses focus during davening, so he pauses, okay, a person should take a pause, look up at the windows, and imagine there in the heavens, like directly where I'm looking out that window, that's the Holy of Holies. Now let me imagine myself standing opposite the Holy of Holies. And then he focuses his thoughts, he reminds himself who he's talking to, and then he closes his eyes again or looks into the siddur again and continues davening. Yes?
Is it a problem where we have the windows on the sides of the Beit Midrash?
I don't think so. They're not see-through. That's
the
why they make them like
the
that.
Sides are see-through.
I don't think so. Look again. When I looked, I mean, I'm here at night. Maybe they only reflect then, but I saw they're not see-through. And anyways, they're on the sides. They're not in front.
Okay.
Yechol yeikol lan bebat achat. A person might think, if I'm supposed to pray three times a day, I'll get them all in at once, right? I'll get up early in the morning, I'll pray my three prayers, and I'm done. From Farashai de David. So David explained that when we pray, the verse says, Erev, Avoker, V'tzoraim. Evening, morning, noon. Those are the three prayers. Yachol yashmi'a kolo v'tfilato. A person might think, I'll pray loudly, everyone will hear me. So the verse indicates, K'fam forash al yedei Chana. It says by Chana, when she was praying to God, it says, V'kola lo yishamea. Her voice was not heard. So there are different understandings here. According to the Kabbalah, when we pray, we're supposed to whisper quietly so that our neighbor can't hear us, and just we hear ourselves. Sometimes, if you're praying alone, it's worthwhile to pray loudly so you hear yourself. You'll see that you have totally different kavanah, even though technically, according to the Kabbalah, it's a good thing to pray quietly. So the rest of your lives, you'll pray quietly. When you're in shul, you have to pray quietly anyways. But two things. A, even when you pray quietly, you should hear yourself. And secondly, you'll find that when you do have occasion to pray alone and you could pray slowly and hear your own voice, very often that arouses much more kavanah within a person. Most people whisper their prayer quietly so that only they can hear it. There is another understanding in this halacha. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that there are two types of whispering. There's whispering where you actually emit the sound, but on such low decibels that the person standing next to you is too far away to hear. But if someone would put his ear right next to your mouth, he'd hear you, just like you hear yourself. And he held that this Gemara doesn't mean that. He held that what the Gemara means is that one just moves the muscles in his mouth as though he were talking, and then through the mouth to the ear you hear yourself. But not that the voice is made audible coming out of the mouth, so that someone else who put his ear next to your mouth could hear you. But rather, if you keep your mouth closed and just move your lips very, very quietly and move the muscles of your mouth oh so faintly, then you'll notice that your ears can hear the sounds that you make, and someone standing next to you right in front of your mouth won't be able to hear you. So that's a totally different understanding in this Gemara. That's how he held the Gemara meant, and that's how he would pray. You could stand right in front of him, you wouldn't hear anything. But he heard himself, and that's what he held this Gemara was saying. Yachol yishal adam tzrachav v'achakach yitpalel. A person might think, let me ask God what I want, and then I'll say the rest of Shmona Esrei, then I'll say the prayer. From Forash al Yidei Shlomo. Shlomo already explained to us about prayer when he inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash. So he described the Beit HaMikdash as a place that God will come to, lishmoa el harina ve'el atfila, to come and hear the praise and the prayer. Rina zot tfila, rina is what we call tfila, the praise that we introduce in our prayer. And tfila zo bakasha, and when Shlomo said to hear the tfila, he meant the requests. So we always have to give praise before we give requests. Usually for us that's not so relevant because we say our prayers in Shmon Esrei. But what happens if a guy is a soldier and he doesn't have time to pray Shmon Esrei? They tell him, you know, in 1 minute we got to go out to the field. You have 60 seconds to daven. So a person has to know that biblically tefillah consists of just this: giving some words of praise, making a request, and concluding with praise. So he could say, three words of praise. Blessed are you, Hashem, creator of the world. Please have me succeed in this mission. Thank you, Hashem, master of the world, who has guided me till here. Or something like that. He could say one sentence and that's enough. By the same token, women who are going to have to keep their prayers short. Sometimes women don't have time to say Shmona Esrei. So then they also could and should fulfill the biblical obligation of praying at least once a day by saying this, by saying Rina, Tfila, and then Rina. You say praise, a request, and conclude with praise. Yes?
But wouldn't a soldier in that situation be exempt from the biblical mitzvah because he's performing another mitzvah protecting the country?
For sure, if the mitzvah of protecting the country or protecting his life were in contradiction with the mitzvah of prayer, then that mitzvah would take precedence. He would have to watch his life. That's why I gave an example where the general tells him you have 60 seconds to daven, where he does have those 60 seconds, and the question is what should he do during those 60 seconds? I'm saying use them, and use them to at least fulfill the biblical obligation. And here you have two biblical obligations to pray. There's the biblical obligation to pray once a day each day, which is a machlokas Rambam Ramban, And then there's the biblical obligation to pray at a time of danger or at a time that one needs God's help specifically in his life. And there he would have a double biblical obligation. So, Mechtar Gemara. En omel davar achar emet v'yatziv. Technically, we have Shema and its blessings, which lead into Shmoneh Esrei. So let's say a person would want to add additions to the blessings after Shema prior to his beginning Shmoneh Esrei. Here, says the Gemara, you may not do that. The Shema and its blessings have to lead directly into Shmoneh Esrei. Aval achar tefilah, but at the end of prayer, after prayer, afilu keseder vidu shel Yom HaKippurim omer, one may add his additions, as much as you will have to ask for, you could add, even like the additions of Yom Kippur. You could add as much as you want, no problem. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya Barashi quoted Rav, Af al pi she'ameru shoel adam tzirachav b'shomeh tefillah. Even though our sages said one may make his requests in the blessing of shomeh tefillah, we have another option. Im balomar achar tefillato, afilu keseder shel Yom HaKippurim omer, if one wants to add at the end of his prayer, he may add as much as he wants, even as much as we add on Yom Kippur. So here there's an interesting discussion in Halacha when the Gemara uses the terms achar hatefilah, after prayer. What does the Gemara mean? So there's a machlokas Shulchan Aruch Gra, machlokas among the commentaries. How do we view Elokai Nitzor Leshoni Mera? Is that part of prayer or not? When the Gemara says achar hatefilah, after prayer, does the Gemara literally mean, well, you've concluded prayer, don't worry about it, because what you're saying now is after prayer? Or does the Gemara mean, no, we mean at the end of prayer, but not after prayer? And the issue at hand is, when is it considered that we concluded prayer? When we say Hamvarech Tamo Yisrael Bashalom, and then Elokai Nitzor Shoni Mera is after prayer, is its own request after prayer? Or do we say, no, Elokai Nitzor Shoni Mera is part of your prayer, and it's only when you conclude that, Yiyul Ratzon Mechi V'Gyon Nidi, only then are you really standing after prayer? What would be a difference? Let's say on Rosh Chodesh, you forgot to say Yalev Yavol. So if you concluded prayer, you go back to the beginning, start again. Any Rosh Chodesh by day, you'd have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Rosh Chodesh by night, not. When is it considered that you concluded prayer? If you didn't conclude the prayer, then you go back to Ritzeh and add in the Alev Yavo. Well, when do we consider it that you concluded prayer? When you say Elokai Nitzor Shoni Mera, is that considered that you concluded prayer? Or do we say, no, that's a request, that's part of prayer? This Gemara, on the one hand, calls it achar tefillah, after the prayer of Shmoneh Esrei. On the other hand, that's a consistent after prayer that we add. So maybe that's already become a part of prayer. So that's a discussion, a machlokas, the Mishnah Brewer quotes it, it's a machlokas among many. I think that we'll just sum up what we learned today, and everyone will go up to Aravit. What we saw today was the importance of limiting the happiness or the laughter, so long as we're at a state that the temple is destroyed. As much as we had learned previous days that we have an important concept of happiness, we have to enter prayer out of happiness, we have to depart from our friends out of words of Halacha and Torah of happiness, at the end of the day our happiness is still not to the fullest degree because we do not have a temple. Then we went on to discuss that our hearts have to be focused to heaven in our prayer, and we discussed the story of Rabbi Akiva, who was so focused in his prayer when he was praying alone that he'd cross the room in his swaying. We discussed that one should ideally pray in a house where there are windows. One should pray three times a day, night, morning, noon. One should pray and his face should be facing Jerusalem. One should pray quietly, and one should begin his prayer with praise and conclude his prayer with praise and make his requests in the middle. And the last point we just learned was that at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, one may make as many additions as one chooses. Thank you.